Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really interesting First Amendment case out of Florida, the legal showdown often dubbed Docs versus Glocks.
Right. The official name is Wolschläger v. Governor of Florida.
And it's all about a Florida law from 2011, the Firearm Owners Privacy Act. FOPA, for short. Okay, let's jump right in. What exactly does this law do?
Well, essentially, FOPA puts some, let's say, guardrails on what doctors in Florida can ask patients about owning firearms and also whether they can jot that down in the medical records.
Okay, guardrails, so limits.
Exactly. The crucial point is these questions, or writing it down, are restricted unless it's, you know, directly relevant to the patient's medical care.
So relevance is key. And that immediately brings up this, well, collision of rights, doesn't it?
It really does. On one side, you've got Florida saying, look, we're protecting patient privacy and, importantly, the Second Amendment rights of gun owners.
But then the doctors and medical groups are saying, hold on a second.
Yeah, they're arguing this law hinders their ability to have frank conversations about health and safety, you know, things relevant to preventing accidents or injuries in the home.
So the core question we're digging into today is, does FOPA step on the First Amendment rights of doctors? Or is it just a legitimate way for the state to regulate how medicine is practiced?
That's the million-dollar question, really. It forces us to think about where the lines are drawn between free speech and professional conduct.
And how far the state can go in setting rules for doctors.
Precisely. It touches on, you know, how much autonomy doctors should have in those patient conversations.
Okay, so let's unpack the origin story here. FOPA, Florida, 2011. We know it restricts asking about guns unless it's relevant to medical care. What actually triggered this? What was happening on the ground?
Well, the catalyst seems to have been complaints from patients. People felt their doctors were asking questions about guns that felt intrusive, unnecessary, maybe.
Intrusive. During routine checkups, perhaps.
Exactly. The feeling was these questions weren't related to why they were there, medically speaking. It felt like an invasion of privacy and maybe even, you know, a judgment on their choice to own firearms.
Okay, so patient complaints drove the legislation. But then the medical community reacted strongly. Who led that charge and what was their main legal point?
So a group of doctors, along with several medical organizations, sued the state. Their argument was squarely based on the First Amendment.
Free speech.
Right. They claimed FOPA violated their right to free speech because it created a chilling effect. It made doctors hesitant to talk about firearm safety, even when they felt it was important for patient health.
So they were worried they couldn't properly advise on safety risks, like safe storage. Especially with kids in the house, maybe.
That's a big part of it. If you can't ask the question, how can you give the advice? That was their concern.
Okay, so we have this fundamental clash. State protecting privacy and Second Amendment rights versus doctors protecting their First Amendment right to discuss health and safety.
Mm.
This leads us straight to the courtroom.
Mm.
What was the precise legal question the courts had to wrestle with?
The core legal issue was whether these specific restrictions in FOPA, the limits on asking and recording firearm info, violated the First Amendment rights of physicians.
And the two opposing takes.
Well, it boiled down to this. Is FOPA a permissible regulation of professional conduct, something states have broad power over? Or is it an unconstitutional restriction on speech because it targets a specific topic, firearms? That distinction, conduct versus speech, is absolutely crucial here.
Right. That distinction often dictates how these cases turn out.
Hmm?
So how did it play out? I know it went up the judicial ladder. Let's focus on the big one, the 11th Circuit's en banc decision. What did they ultimately decide?
The 11th Circuit, sitting en banc, meaning the full court, heard the case, not just a small panel they sided with the state. And it was a pretty decisive ruling, 10-1. They found FOPA constitutional.
Wow, 10-1. That's significant. What was the reasoning from the majority, led by Judge Truflat? How did they justify upholding the law?
Their logic hinged on that conduct versus speech distinction we just talked about. They basically said, look, when a doctor asks about guns during an appointment, that's part of medical practice. It's conduct within their profession.
So they framed it as regulating the act of practicing medicine, not the content of the speech itself.
Exactly. And states have traditionally had pretty wide latitude to regulate professions like medicine to protect the public. So the majority saw FOPA as setting a standard for appropriate medical conduct in Florida, specifically related to these firearm inquiries.
So they weren't saying doctors could never talk about guns, just that routine, non-relevant inquiries weren't part of acceptable practice under this law.
Precisely. The majority felt any impact on speech was just incidental to regulating this professional conduct.
Incidental. That's an interesting phrasing.
It is. And they also pointed out that the law included an affirmative defense, meaning if a doctor actually got disciplined under FOPA, they could still argue in that disciplinary hearing that their specific speech was protected by the First Amendment, maybe because it was relevant in that particular case.
I see. So a backstop, in a sense. And what specific state interests did the majority find convincing enough to justify the law?
The state argued FOPA was needed to protect patient privacy, that feeling of intrusion we discussed, and also to prevent potential discrimination against gun owners by doctors. The majority found these to be legitimate state interests.
And they deferred to the state's judgment on how best to achieve those interests through regulating medical practice.
Essentially, yes. They relied heavily on existing legal principles about regulating professions rather than creating some new First Amendment test.
Okay, that covers the majority. But it wasn't unanimous. There was that one dissent, Judge Wilson. What was his take? Why did he think FOPA crossed the constitutional line?
Judge Wilson had a fundamentally different view. He argued FOPA was an unconstitutional restriction on speech, plain and simple.
And why did he see it that way? How did his analysis differ so sharply from the other 10 judges?
He saw FOPA as a content-based restriction. That's a critical legal term. Because the law specifically singles out speech about firearms for regulation, he argued it was regulating speech based on its subject matter.
Not just regulating conduct, but targeting a specific topic of conversation.
Exactly. And content-based restrictions on speech are generally viewed with much more suspicion under the First Amendment. Judge Wilson was really concerned about the chilling effect this would have on important public health discussions.
Like the example you mentioned earlier, pediatricians talking to parents about gun safety.
Precisely. He felt FOPA would make doctors think twice before bringing up a topic that could be vital for child safety just because it involved firearms. That chilling effect on potentially life-saving conversations was a major concern for the dissent.
And if it's a content-based restriction, what legal test did Judge Wilson believe should apply?
He argued it should be subject to strict scrutiny. This is the highest level of judicial review.
Meaning the law has to be very carefully designed.
Extremely carefully. It needs to be narrowly tailored to achieve a compelling government interest. Judge Wilson argued FOPA failed this test.
Why do you think it failed? Not narrowly tailored enough.
Right. He believed the law was too broad. It swept in too much potentially valuable speech in its effort to protect privacy and prevent discrimination. In his view, the state hadn't shown that such a broad restriction on physician speech was necessary to achieve its goals. He felt it wasn't the least restrictive means available.
Okay, so this case really lays bare that tension. For our listeners, especially law students, What are the big takeaways here? What legal concepts does Wolfschlager really eliminate?
Well, for law students, it's a fantastic illustration of the professional speech doctrine. That's the framework courts use to figure out if speech is part of a professional's job and thus more open to regulation, or if it's more like public commentary, which gets much stronger First Amendment protection.
And Wolfschlager shows just how tricky drawing that line can be.
Absolutely. It highlights the constant push and pull between the state's power to set professional standards for, say, doctors, dentists, lawyers, and the individual professional's fundamental right to free speech. Where does one end and the other begin? It's rarely clear-cut.
So, thinking practically, what does this ruling mean for a doctor practicing in Florida today? How might it affect their patient interactions?
The practical upshot is this. Doctors aren't gagged entirely about firearms, but FOPA definitely limits routine or, unsolicited questions about gun ownership and recording that info.
Unless it's clearly directly relevant to the patient's current medical situation.
Correct. Like if someone comes in with a gunshot wound, obviously it's relevant. Or if you're doing a suicide risk assessment.
Right.
But just asking every patient, do you own guns as part of a standard intake? That's what FOPA restricts.
So they can still discuss it if the patient brings it up or if a specific medical issue makes it clearly relevant?
Yes, the law allows for that. But the proactive across-the-board screening questions are the issue. Doctors might be more cautious now unless the relevance is undeniable.
Got it. And just to make absolutely sure everyone is clear, because there were some twists and turns earlier in the case, what was the final definitive ruling from the 11th Circuit en banc? Did they kill the law or keep it?
Good point to clarify. The final en banc decision upheld FOPA. It found the law constitutional. This reversed earlier district court decisions that had actually struck down parts of the law. So as it stands now, FOPA is the law in Florida.
Okay, upheld. And one last technical point, severability. Did that concept play a role in the final outcome? You know, the idea of maybe cutting out bad parts of a law but keeping the rest?
It was discussed earlier on, yes. There were arguments about whether, if some parts were unconstitutional, they could be severed from the rest. But since the en banc court found the entire act constitutional, severability didn't end up being the deciding factor. They upheld the whole thing.
Right. Makes sense. So wrapping this up, this case really boils down to that fundamental balancing act, doesn't it? State power to regulate versus individual free speech rights within a professional context.
It absolutely does. And for law students, Wolfschlager is just a vital case study. It shows how critical that initial categorization, is this speech or is this conduct, really is in First Amendment law, especially when professions are involved.
Super interesting and definitely complex. So here's a final thought for everyone listening into Mullover. Think about the ripples this could send. Beyond doctors and guns, how might this reasoning affect other professions? Where are the limits on state power to regulate what professionals can say to their clients or patients, particularly when those conversations brush up against constitutional rights like free speech or, as implicated here, maybe even Second Amendment considerations?
Yeah, it opens up a lot of questions about regulation in areas like financial advice, therapy, education. The list goes on.
Definitely food for thought. Wolfschlager gives us a lot to chew on about those boundaries. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.